This is the Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project 2. I'm Marion Silberman with my partner Mark Stern, interviewing Mrs. Bess Topolsky.
It's Miss.
Miss Bess Topolsky on Wednesday, December 16, 1987. Bess, would you please state your full name, your address, and your date of birth?
Well, I've been going under the name of Bess for the longest time. Of course, the original was Bessie.
Okay. Bess
Topolsky. Topolsky.
And your address?
5260 Center Avenue.
And your date of birth?
December 16, 1905.
You. Bess, would you please tell us where you were born and then tell us about your immediate family?
I was born in Skryab, in the Ukraine.
Was it how do you spell the name of the town?
S K V or W E R A, Skryab.
And what was your mother's name and your father's name?
My father was Abraham.
And your mother?
And my mother was Eva.
Did you
unless you want the Hebrew names.
No. What was Eva's maiden name?
Do you remember? Novominsky.
Minsky.
Novominsky.
Novominsky.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I had an older brother, and I still have a younger sister.
And what were their names?
Morris. My sister is Rose.
And is her, what's her last name?
Klein. K-L-B-I-N.
And how old were you when you came over to this country?
7.5 years old.
Do you remember anything at all about your early years in Europe?
Well, I was brought up in a very orthodox atmosphere because my father was employed by the Skryel Rebbe.
Employed in what way?
He was the general manager, if you what title he had. He was the overseer of the estate. While we were brought up strictly orthodox, as far as the social life, we were we lived in an area where wouldn't call them revolutionary, but the young people who were not happy with the regime would have a place where to come and meet.
Were those young people, were they all Jewish?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So your father was involved?
My father not so much with the social life as my mother.
Mm-hmm. And in what way was your mother involved?
Well, we had a home in the estate. The rabbi's estate had a huge orchard and a lot of ground surrounding it, so that there was a necessity for a meeting. They would be able to come and hold their functions without being involved with the police or with the government.
Mm-hmm.
It was a place where younger generation would meet and discuss literature and books and government. And I can recall that one Friday they dressed up a young man who wanted to leave the country, not have to register for the army. They dressed him up in women's clothes and got him out of the city.
Do you know What made your parents decide to leave there and come to this country?
We actually didn't decide to leave. My father's parents and his four sisters were in America at the time that we came. He was the oldest and an only son. And when his parents left, he was working for the rabbi and enjoyed life to the degree because they did a lot of traveling. It was a nice, we had a home of our own. But when my brother was reaching closest to the 13th birthday and ready for bar mitzvah, we had had a friend from Chicago staying with us for a matter of about 18 months. She had been sent home. She had been sent to our area to break up a love affair or whatever. Family didn't like the shidduch. She fell in love with the area. Instead of staying and spending with us a month, she stayed 18 months. And sold my mother the idea of moving to America, where the children have a better a chance for education. There wouldn't be the objection of my father that my brother had to go to classes on Saturday. It didn't suit the atmosphere. So my mother tried and did convince my father that we ought to come to America, have the bar mitzvah, and then we can come back. Well, towards the end of 1913, all the plans were made. My brother's bar mitzvah was around Thanksgiving time. However, my mother took sick, and the doctor said that she wouldn't be able to travel. Now, I don't know whether you want this, is that intimate?
That's fine. Yeah? That's mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm.
Well, while she was recovering from pneumonia, my sister had the measles. And even though there was 5 years apart between us, I had not had the measles. And so when I contacted them, I was rather pretty sick. And the doctor said that I couldn't travel. So in order for my mother to get to America, she sold him the idea that he should take the son and go to America, have the bar mitzvah, and as soon as we were permitted to travel, we would join them. Well, he listened, he went. And no sooner got to America, he started writing letters. Don't plan to come. I'm coming back. Well, my mother had a second battle, and she won that. But in the at the end of towards the end of June, my mother had four sisters and a brother and a father who was still was living at that time. So we made the rounds of saying goodbye to her, to the family, with the understanding, of course, that we were going to come back. Well, we arrived in Pittsburgh on July the 1st of 1914.
Let me stop you for a minute.
Yeah.
When you didn't come straight to Pittsburgh. Did you come through Ellis Island?
We came through Ellis Island, yes.
Okay. Would you tell us a little bit about that experience, if you can remember?
The only thing there was really nothing extraordinary. The trip was nice. We made a stop at Halifax and from Halifax down to New York. We were met by representative of the Hayas, and spent the night in New York. In the meantime, they telegraphed to my father that what train we were taking. We came in on the what was then the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad, mm-hmm. coming through Washington, D.C., and when it was during the night, the woman sitting opposite us suspected that we were people that just emigrated to the country, so she was kind enough to point us the Capitol. It was all lit, the dome was all lit up. This mm-hmm. was like around midnight. So we had a glance of the Capitol of the United States that was up. We arrived in Pittsburgh Friday morning, July the 1st.
In what year?
In 1914.
What had made your father come to Pittsburgh?
His parents were here, and his four sisters were here.
Oh, they were in Pittsburgh.
They were already in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
And when you came to Pittsburgh, where did you go? Where did you live at first?
We stayed about 2 months with my grandparents on Webster Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
We were on in the building that still exists. As I go down with the 81 bus, I look up to see whether the building is still standing there.
Did you live there with other family members?
Yeah, well, there were my father's two sisters were married and two were still single.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as I said, we stayed with them for the 2 months. In the meantime, looked for a place. My father worked as a Toby maker.
What is Toby?
What's cigar maker.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
And he needed a job where he wouldn't have to work on Saturday. So
this was your father that was the cigar maker?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. His sister was working in the tobacco Toby maker.
Do you remember the name of the company?
Yeah, Enlow. Enlow.
Where was that?
On Miller Street.
Miller Street was also in what was known as the Hill District.
The Hill District, yes.
And he didn't have to work on Saturday?
No.
Okay.
He was able to work on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And was he able to earn enough doing that to support this family?
I suppose he made enough after all. I wasn't neglected in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to the same area where the factory was on Miller Street. And I started in the first grade. And in 4 years, I was through with the 8 years of public school.
In 4 years, you
were
through with 8 years of public school?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you were a good student. Where did you go to school?
At Miller Street. Miller School.
Miller School.
It still exists.
Yes, I've heard that name. And so when you got out of public school then, you were how old?
I was 16 and no, I was 14 then.
14?
Yeah.
And what did you do then?
I went to Fifth Avenue High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated in 1923. Went to work for the Jewish Daily Forward.
The Jewish Daily Forward was being printed
there. Was then
the
height of the
Jewish Forward, wasn't it in New York?
The printing plant, the office was in New York, but at that time, the Forward was the largest Jewish daily. They were printing 250 copies a day, 250,000. Copies a day, and they opened, they were spreading out, they were opening offices in all the large cities,
mm-hmm.
so that we had some close to 10 or 11 offices throughout the United States, beginning with, of course, New York, Newark, Philadelphia, etc., etc. We also had a print plant in Washington, in Chicago, so that part of the paper that went to the western area of the states was printed in Chicago. Some of the at that time there was no computer to stop.
Sure.
Some of the plates were done on asbestos, or and they would be shipped to Chicago for the and inserted into the editions that went to the West Coast. The front page, of course, was done in Chicago.
And the Jewish Daily Forward was published daily?
Daily and Sunday.
And how was it distributed in those days?
It came by train. For those that were buying the paper on the stands or delivered from, we had news carriers that delivered from house to house in the areas. We had, we would pick them up at the Pennsylvania Railroad and get them to the newsstands, and newsstands we had 50 in the different areas in the city. And then, of course, we had a couple of schoolboys, and we had one man that used to cover the strip. Mm-hmm. And he had he made a nice living with.
So at 18, there. At 18 year old, you worked for the.
At 18, quite 18. My qualifications were that I was able to speak and reread and write Yiddish.
That's why you got that job, right?
That's why I had that job.
Do you remember how much the Daily Forward was cost in those days?
It was $10 a year subscription. It was selling for 5 cents.
Mm-hmm. $10 a year for a daily paper. Okay. Let's backtrack just a little bit. When you came to the United States, did you, in addition to going to public school, did you also go to Sunday school or Hebrew school?
I went to the Aaron Kaufman Settlement had classes. The group that I attended was run by the Labor Zionists.
And what was that? Was that?
That was Saturday and Sunday. Saturday we do the reading. On Sunday we were taught to write. I had started Yiddish yet in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great uncle who was my teacher for the Hebrew, and a teacher that was teaching me to read and write Yiddish. And then I continued, of course, in Pittsburgh.
Do you read and write Hebrew as well?
No.
Did your family belong to a synagogue?
Yeah, the Russian synagogue on Miller Street.
Is that still
in existence? That doesn't. No.
They merged?
And when we moved to the East Liberty area, he was at the Dr. Shorn's synagogue.
Mm-hmm. When did you move to East Liberty?
In 1930. Yeah, 1930. After.
And how long did you work for the Forward?
62 years.
Until you retire?
Until I retired. Until the circulation was. Excuse me.
We're going to backtrack a little bit again.
Yeah.
When you told us that you came to this country and you lived with your grandparents,
yes,
and your father's single sisters also lived with your grandparents,
yeah,
what were their names? Do you remember?
Oh, sure.
Sure. Okay.
By the way, they're all gone.
Yeah.
My aunt, my last aunt, died this August. She died on her birthday. No, she died in June. She died on her birthday. She was 100 years old.
Did she live in Pittsburgh?
Yes, Dora Shapiro.
Dora
Shapiro.
Mm-hmm. And where did she live?
At the inn?
Mm-hmm.
At the home of the agent.
And
what is now the River
Center.
Yeah.
And the other one?
The others are. You want their full names?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Katie Lewick, L-O-U-I-K, that's Judge Lewick's mother. And Lena Mann.
M-A-N?
N, two N's.
Double N.
And Dora Shapira and Fanny Shapira were married to two brothers.
And they all stayed in Pittsburgh?
They all lived in Pittsburgh.
And they all raised their families here?
Yes.
So, from the sounds of that, you must have a lot of family here in Pittsburgh.
Well, we have cousins.
Yes, a lot of cousins.
Not a lot, but very close cousins.
And who are they?
Well, the Lewicks had three boys, but there's only two left now. You want names?
Mm-hmm.
Judge Maurice Lewick and Harry Lewick.
The stockbroker, right?
What did Harry do?
Harry?
He's a stockbroker.
And the Shapiros?
The Shapiros have in Pittsburgh Michael Shapiro. You want those that don't live in the city?
Sure.
Sure. What does Michael do?
Michael has the Michael boutique on Wood Street downtown.
And
there's Dr. Irvin Shapiro, who is at Berkeley, California.
He's a professor?
Yes. And there's it was Ruth Lesnick, L-A-S-N-I-C-K. She also lives in Albany, California.
And then there's another name in there.
Men.
Man has one daughter. Clara Oberfield.
Where did they live?
They live in Squirrel
Hill. Squirrel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You told us that you came from a very Orthodox background.
Mm-hmm.
Did your family remain Orthodox?
Yes.
Once they came to Pittsburgh?
Once we came to Pittsburgh, the household was strictly kosher.
And remained that way?
Remained that way till the very end.
When you talk about the household, that's your parents' home?
Yes.
Okay. Did you always live with your parents?
Yes.
And when you moved to East Liberty, where did you live then?
On North St. Clair Street.
And how long did you live there?
Until 1969.
And then?
I moved here.
You moved here. And your parents, you said, were affiliated with Adith Yeshurun?
Yes.
Have you maintained that affiliation yourself?
No.
Do you belong to a congregation?
The Rosh Hashanah Temple.
Okay. It's closer to you.
In Walking Street. Yeah.
That's right. Can you tell us something about your school days here in Pittsburgh? Such as who your friends were, something about the classroom, something about subjects that were taught in those days.
The routine.
Who were your friends in those days? Have you maintained any of those friendships?
They're all gone.
They're all gone. But over the years.
Over the years, yes, more or less. We. I have. Still have a tenant on my floor with whom I graduated high school.
What's his name?
Her name. Eve Martin. And all the rest are
And what was classroom discipline like in those days?
It was, the students that I went to school with, we were all interested in the education. There was no problems with us at all.
There was no fooling around there is today.
No, well, I personally was busy because I went from 1A to 2A to 3A to 4A to 5A. I never was in the B's until the 8th grade. I was in the, as the classes were then called in those years.
Mm-hmm.
And even though my father thought things weren't very, it wasn't a rich household. Most of us that graduated public school went on to business high, and in order to get it done, I said I was going to go to Fifth Avenue High. I went 4 years of high school. And my father wasn't earning too much. And my brother was at Fifth Avenue High, so this is where I belong too. I won the battle. I went to Fifth with the understanding that I was going to work after school so that I can help support the family. And I did it.
What did you do?
Went to work in a grocery store. It was then only a dairy store. From there, I worked for a wholesale house on Fifth Avenue until I graduated and went into...
What was the name of the wholesale house on Fifth Avenue?
Oh, some Arab. I don't even remember.
An Arab,
yeah. What the hell? It was a little short name.
With all the Jewish businesses,
yeah,
on
right,
Fifth Avenue?
On Washington Street, right around the corner from Fifth Avenue High. From the Fifth Avenue.
In those times, you didn't think of Arabs the way you think now because of the state of Israel.
Yeah.
There was very friendly relations.
Yeah, Ayub was his name. A-Y-O-O-B. Does that spell Ayub?
That spells right.
Ayub.
Yeah, there's I have a neighbor by the name of Ayub, mm-hmm, who sells watermelons in the strip district.
Oh.
So maybe they're related.
Could be. All the Ayubs were related.
Tell us a little bit about what life was like for you in general. Life here in the city. You went to school and you graduated and you took a job. But what was your life like? You know, what did you do after you came home from work, on your days off?
Well, with me, we arrived, as I told you, July the 1st. It was a Friday in Pittsburgh. On Sunday, there was a socialist picnic at Riverview Park. My aunts were already then members of the Workman's Circle, active in the movement, and they took me to the picnic. I got initiated right quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I remained active in during this public school, not so much, but in high school. I was a member of the Yipsels.
Who?
Yipsels, why? Young People Socialist.
Oh, how do you spell that? Why?
S-A-S-I-P-S-A.
Young People.
People's
Socialist
League.
And what did they do?
Well, we spread. It was a political movement. It was the Workman's Circle.
That's when it started, was Workman's Circle.
Workman's Circle came into existence in Pittsburgh in 1904. And my aunts were members, my uncles were members,
and you joined?
I joined the younger group. And of course, when I went to work for the Forward, that was again, an involvement with an older generation, but part of, as I said, that my qualifications were, and you, working for the Forward, one of the requirements or suggestions were that we become members of Workman's Circle. The employees, for instance, to this day, by the way, the telephone call I had was from the Jewish Labor Committee. Most of the employees there are members of Workman's Circle.
Tell us a little bit about the Workman's Circle.
Well, the Workman's Circle came into existence at the turn of the century.
Why?
Because people needed a cemetery. They weren't members of a shul. They were working towards a better nashena, as we say in Yiddish, a besel and nashena ledel.
Mm-hmm. What social life? This is where the social life came in.
Yes.
Did you actively recruit other Jewish people to become members of that group?
Yes, yeah.
And did many?
At the height of our membership, it was 70, I'm trying to see if I can remember the year. But we had over 70,000 members. Not Pittsburgh, nationally, of course. Mm-hmm.
And here in Pittsburgh, other than the Workman's Circle Cemetery, which is still in existence,